League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? And a beautiful afternoon in Houston, Texas. We are coming to you live from the Shell Houston Open out here at the course formerly known as Redstone, now the Golf Club of Houston, right outside the 17th green in what they like to affectionately call the Craft Beer Corner.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. They're alive and kicking.
And we have people that are longtime listeners. We love you. Thank you.
They're already drunk. Everyone in this area is already drunk, and I love it.
That is the kind of crowd we need.
It's like a family reunion for me. That's what it feels like right now.
Now, when we have one of the marshals with the paddles come running over here saying that the guy putting got ticked off because he missed one, it's not our fault, okay? It's the beer. It is not our fault. Barry's here. I'm here. Nick's back at the studio. Andreas is here. Shocker that Dwight Howard's little brother, Drew, is in the tent because he doesn't want sun, and he does want to eat as much free food as he can. But the sunglasses are on. He'll be signing autographs and taking selfies throughout the day. So if you people want to see Dwight Howard's little brother.
Actually, you want to see Jennifer. You don't want to see Drew. Drew's nothing. You want to go say hi to Jennifer. Trust me.
Jennifer, did we not get the team uniform coordinated today? No? Or Drew decided that this was his element? Twin Peaks could not score a date, but the Shell Houston Open could be beneficial, right? Look, you said this, what was it, a week ago, where you said, God, when the weather's nice outside and we got to go inside for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You remind yourself of the days when you had class in college and the professor said, hey, what if we take the class outside today? This is one of those days.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly community college. Let's be real. I didn't go to a real college.
Still.
It's usually community college where they let you go outside and, you know, do your math.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is nice, man. Getting out of the studio, you know, I was dreading another road show. This is our third one this week. But I'm okay with this. Being outside, the sun is a little bright. I should have wore shorts. That was my bad. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
That's right. You wore a collared shirt. I thought it was going to be windy out here, so I wore a pullover, and now I'm like, oh,
yeah, you did have on long sleeves.
So I was like,
between the two of us, we could make one appropriate,
well-dressed, appropriate person out here.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
We love the fact that we are in with the peoples, the masses, the people that we like to call our own. And we will be here until 4 o'clock, so we'll be talking, I'm sure, not to the level of John Granato. We'll give you updates on the golf, but we've got plenty to get to.
I really did think Granato was going to do, because, you know, he loves golf so much.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to do his whole show with, like, full golf attire with a golf glove on. You know how some dudes go to a baseball game and wear a glove? I kind of figure Granato will be walking around with a golf glove, maybe with his spikes on.
It's interesting you said
all that,
because I'm watching. We're right here on the walkway between.
Oh, please tell me somebody doesn't have a glove on.
There are so many guys dressed like they are ready to tee off in the next half hour, and they're just here to observe.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand when you have to follow the golf etiquette when you are playing at a pristine course. Just be comfortable and let the boys go where they need to go while you are in some comfortable shoes when you're watching golf. Right? Like my guys over here. My guys over here are chilling. They're getting some food and bev.
Like they thought this was a monster truck rally. Let's be real.
I'm not going to go that far.
They came here thinking, dude, I cannot wait to see some sweet jumps. And they were like, golf? What? Like,
no.
Yeah, they look a little different than everybody else.
My man in the flat bill came over and said, what, Tony Hawk's not on number two? I'm out. This is not working for me. No, this is the way you need to watch golf. I mean, look, they're not policing you. You're not going to get your tee time canceled if you're not tucked in with a white belt. So you need to come out, be comfortable. The green highlighter shirts are popular with some of the masses that actually get paid.
I think they work here, don't they?
Yes.
Oh, is that? I'm pretty astute, right?
Yeah, you're on top of that one. So we're here till 4, and, you know, I thought we got a short end of the deal. No Final Four and no West Palm for Astros. But being out here today after, like you said, 5 remotes in 2 weeks,
yeah,
this one would be the best of the bunch.
So far, yeah.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
so
we'll
far.
See how it goes. If I get stung by a bee or someone gets drunk in the craft beer corner and throws up on me, then it's not the best remote we've had. But so far, so good. 5 minutes in, yeah, we're doing good.
Yeah, and I will say this, too. I was a little concerned when we got here. But I heard you did not have a parking pass.
Yeah, so what happened, being the team player that I am, I gave up my parking pass because Jong lost one. So, yeah, he lost
and
one
I
of our...
And I warned you yesterday if you didn't have one.
Yeah, yeah. So what I did is Michelle and Jong just asked me, hey, could we have your parking pass to give it to some of the early folks and then someone will meet you and bring it to you? So I was like, yeah, no problem. So I gave it up and I was going to meet Drew and Jennifer. And then about halfway home, Jong texts me and goes, hey, you want to come back? I found it. I was like, no, bro, I'm in traffic, bro. It's the Galleria. It's 5 o'clock. Hell no, I'm not coming back.
Right.
So, yeah, Drew and Jennifer had to meet me and give me the pass that I originally had. But all good. It wasn't, they let me all the way through because I had the media credentials. So I got to get all the way to the parking area. So no problems.
I'm telling you, because I told you, you need a parking pass when you're out here. Otherwise, it's just a cluster.
Yeah.
But not only that, but I mean, the people with the line, normally they're like really bad and they're telling, no, you're going way to the back. You're going over here. And this, sweetheart, they may stop you down the line, but I'm going to bring you down this side route. We're going to get you right here to this parking spot. Then the guy pulls up with a golf cart and goes, where are you guys working today? I said, right outside 17. He goes, oh, just jump in the cart. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Took me to the media center, took me here.
I had to walk off lunch, so Drew and Jennifer and I walked over because, you know,
Drew was
my fitness for the week.
I saw them, and I yelled to them, and they said, Barry forgot his parking pass.
No,
we have
forgot?
To go get him.
You guys sold me out with a
yeah.
forgot?
Yes. Yes.
Are you
that's why
serious?
I asked. Yes.
Oh, I hate y'all so much. God, forgot.
This
here
is the
I
term
am.
Used.
Here I am taking one for the team, trying to be a good citizen. And you're out there putting me on forgot.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Absolutely. I'm blasting you, Drew.
Good
I mean,
Lord.
There's one too many selfies with you today. So the fact that you said he forgot, and then he said, well, we have to go get Barry to get him the pass, but I'm hungry. And I thought, oh, Lord, because that means that Barry might not get in for another half hour, 45 minutes. Because Drew, when he pushes up to the table, he ain't pushing back until the tank is full, and that takes a while.
Fat boy did some work.
I was a little concerned.
Yeah.
And how about the omen of your Astros? Good omen. Ricky Fowler throwing out the first pitch tonight for Astros Cubs. So what does he do? Hey, 7-under already out on the course. So
nice. Good
omen that the Stros are back in town. Ricky Fowler throwing the first pitch out and going low on the first day of the Shell Houston Open.
Yeah, look, it feels even right now.
Yeah, we talked about him yesterday.
Yeah.
You should have seen it. Granato was on the air, and he needed like a 16-foot downhill putt for bogey.
Uh-huh.
You'd have thought that Rice and his son just won the national championship game. He's jumping up, pumping his fist, white man's overbite.
Freaking out, huh?
Yeah, it was just crazy.
Hey, can I tell you, I saw something on the way to the show today that disturbed me a little. I've never seen this, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. So I'm coming down the Beltway, and there's this new gas station that they've built between 45 and 59. And I was coming from the Hardy, so it's on the
right
as I'm coming in. It's a really nice gas station, really big, a lot of pumps. And at the end of the gas station, now, you know, most gas stations that they build nowadays, they add a restaurant or they add a fast food joint.
Right.
They'll have a Arby's or maybe a Subway inside, a McDonald's.
Right.
This one had a Denny's attached to it.
Like a sit-down Denny's?
Yeah, like a whole Denny's. Like, that's a new low for Denny's, being attached to a gas station. Like, I really thought, like, Denny's can't get any lower than they already are. You know, they've gone through some issues, and let's face it, it's Denny's. But now they're being attached to gas stations.
Was it still open?
Yeah, it's brand new.
Oh, because
like,
I saw the one.
This is a new concept in Denny's marketing.
I thought I knew which one you're talking about. I saw the gas station on the right that looks brand new, looks kind of like a Buc-ee's, really super big, and then had caution tape all around it. And I'm like, yeah, don't think that's opening on time. But
No, this one, this literally, it was, I mean, you know, a really nice gas station and a Denny's. Like,
really?
I don't know about you, but if I'm hungry and I'm wanting some breakfast, I'm not going to stop and get some gas and eggs.
Or you're going to get the gas.
Or a Rudy Tootie.
I was going to say Rudy Tootie or the Grand Slam. Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I think I'll I would like my restaurant unattached from a filling station.
Let's be honest. If you go Rudy Tootie or Grand Slam, you get the side of sausage. The gas comes later. You don't get the gas before you get to the Denny's.
Yeah. That was just that struck me as very weird.
That's a
I'm all right. I'm all right with like an Arby's. You know, no one ever, I mean, okay.
Cuz you're always in search of the meat.
What?
That's what Arby's is all about, man.
Arby's is about the meat.
We have the meats.
Yeah. You don't like Arby's?
Yeah, America's Roast Beef, yes, sir.
It's good.
That's what it stands for.
America's Roast Beef. Oh, that's right. We had this discussion,
yes,
didn't
America's
we?
Roast Beef,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
sir.
And, yeah, Denny's, that kind of weirded me out, though.
Yeah.
I'm avoiding that Denny's.
I used to work with a guy that's now the vice president of Denny's nationally. We should get him on. Ask him, what's going on? Have you reached an all-time low?
We'll right.
You get Chuck Tingle. And I'll get the VP of Denny's, and we'll call it a day. All right, you boys out there, I see the Cubs shirt. You know they're in town. That's great. Everybody's out here today at the Shell Houston Open. Great day to be out here. Hey, rain this weekend on the forecast. Let's hope it doesn't happen. But if that's the case, stop by and see us today. We're outside the 17th Green at the Craft Beer Corner right here at the Shell Houston Open. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick tells us hot. No, not quite yet. There's a nice breeze out here at the Shell Houston Open as we broadcast live. The usual suspects coming to you from right behind the 17th green out here in beautiful Houston, Texas on the opening round of the show, so to speak. Ricky Fowler throwing out the first pitch tonight as your Astros are back in town to host the Cubs in a two-game preseason set. And the karma is there. He was 7-under when I checked, leading everybody in the, not in the gym, but on the course, so that's a nice little kickstart to your day. I was driving over here. I took the Beltway as you did, Barry, and I meant to ask you this for a couple days, and there's no time like the present with the Astros now back in town. I was thinking about the Stros, and we know that the starting pitching is where it's all going to kind of lie for the time being in terms of dictating where they go, how they do. But with what Gregerson was able to do in the World Baseball Classic and did such a phenomenal job closing.
Yeah.
Is Giles, now AJ's not giving up his hand on what he's going to do, but is it like a pretty much a done deal that Giles is going to be like your eighth inning guy early and Gregerson's going to continue to close just based on how he's looked?
No, Ken Giles is the Astros closer until he loses the job, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, you look at what he did down the stretch last year. He righted the ship. He started off, you know, he had that tough start. But, you know, you didn't give up what you gave up to have an eighth inning guy. I mean, you went out and got Ken Giles for him to be your closer, and that's what he's going to be. Now, I'm not saying he can't lose the job again, and it's great to have depth at the back end of that bullpen, so you know if he does go through a rough stretch, you've got somebody like Gregerson that can come in and close out a game here and there. But I think that it's his job to lose going into the season. I think if they would have just, you know, signed him as a free agent or just some, but you gave up some pieces to get him, so you're not just going to let that dude continue to be a setup man.
And I see he and his agent, I'm sure, would be the guys that were first in line to get into the office of Jeff Luhnow and say, this is why we came here to close.
Yep.
But at the same time, I kind of feel like Hinch has been tight-lipped and he won't earmark anybody for any direct position simply because he did see what Gregerson did and he doesn't want to pigeonhole himself into making that commitment because nothing chapped my ass more than watching Giles come into a couple games when you're just like, okay, he's just going to blow it by everybody and would give up a one or a two spot in a tight situation. You're like, is he ready yet? And then I also, but granted, now there was also that time when you thought Gregerson was starting to slip away.
Yeah.
But and then he bounced
back. And then
back,
Harris
so,
steps up, but when right. both of them are having some trouble and goes on the run that he had. And then he faded
free all-star,
down the
right.
Yeah.
And then he faded too.
And then
too,
he
so.
Faded a little bit, and Giles picked it up. So I think the good news is that the Astros have some depth at in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. Yeah, they can go to Harris, they can go to Gregerson, they can go to Giles. I think right now, probably to somebody like A.J. Hinch, the order doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
But I do think you have to come out and declare a closer. All of that said, it's not going to surprise me if, you know, Giles maybe pitches back-to-back and they're in another safe situation in the third game of a three-game series, and you see Gregerson come in and get a save, or even Harris, for that matter. I think he still feels like he can trust Harris. Whether the fans do or anyone else does remains to be seen, but I think they feel set and are confident in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. It's getting between the fifth and the seventh that maybe they're looking at.
Tony Sipp worries me.
Tony Sipp worries me a lot, man. 2 years ago, he was a stud.
Yeah.
Against lefties. And, he, you know, Davinsky was literally their best pitcher against lefties out of that bullpen.
Without a doubt.
And I think that, you know, if Sipp can't turn it around, I think you got to, you know, consider going out and getting that replaced for later in the season and the playoffs.
I mean,
you can't go into the playoffs
with
a guy.
He's the only left-handed arm that you got in the pen.
Yeah.
So he has to perform well. Now, you bring up a great point. Davinsky with, you know, he's just has the just a great ability to be able to get guys out on both sides of the plate. And you do have a lot of power arms. And we mentioned 7, 8, and 9 is not going to be the innings of worry about. But in those middle innings and or, you know, unless you need long relief like Davinsky was so good at, and you're going to have a situational left-hander to get out, Sipp's got to step up. He's got the money. He's got everything he wanted. He had an off year. You hope he bounces back. But with the expectations for this team, that's got to be something you worry about. Not as much as getting, you know, making sure the starting rotation is great or better than average, but I think that they have to pay close attention to that, especially early in the season.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the other thing is they don't want to get off to another slow start. I mean, I obviously everybody will look at the Rangers and say they couldn't beat the Rangers last year. That's why they couldn't make the playoffs. If they would have just finished 500 with the Rangers, they'd been okay. Well, let's not forget the hellacious start that they got off to last year and the fact that digging a hole that deep was really tough to get out of just to eat, and they did a hell of a job just to be able to be considered for a playoff spot late in the year, being in the chase.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. You know, it's going to be interesting. This team can hit. This team can, you know, they can close out games. It's there's questions with their starting pitching and the middle of that bullpen. And as far as getting off to a slow start, I think that the thing that worries me is I don't want to see them press this year. And I'm concerned a little bit that they know they can't repeat what happened last year and go 7-17 in April. So they're going to get off to a bit of a slow start or be pressing to not get off to a slow start. So that worries me a little bit. But the good thing is I think that they've got guys on this team now like McCann and like Beltran that understand the dynamics of that and can help relax these guys in the clubhouse. And so I don't think you'll see a repeat of last year, but I'm sure it's on everybody's mind.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, you had some great situational opportunities to just better your team in the last couple of years. There wasn't a lot of pressure on you. You know, when you did perform well, everybody just gave a tip of the cap and said that, hey, they're continuing to, you know, proceed forward. Now it's go time. The microscope is definitely with the crosshairs on this team, one of three teams everybody's talking about in the American League. And so everything's going to be hyped up. Everything's going to be a little bit more pressurized. And with that, you might not have that loose rope. That leash might be a little tighter, both in the bullpen and just all across the board. You're right. The veteran leadership has got to help in that locker room because you've got a lot of young guys that haven't been there and done that before on this level, and they're going to be expected to be in top form.
I think that's why they went out and got them for that very reason. I'm catching a lot of heat on Twitter. Everyone's reminding me that the Flying J gas stations have Denny's attached to it. I don't think that's a Flying J. I think it was like a Citco. Now, some people are telling me that that was an actual truck stop. So that excuses having the Denny's attached to the gas station.
Okay,
I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know if I'm still okay with that just because it's a truck stop.
Yeah, and I don't think.
And then El Jefe says Barry clearly hasn't had Stripes breakfast tacos. Au contraire, I have. In fact, when I went down to the Valley, I had a gig down in the Valley in McAllen, and I was down there and asked some of the locals what's the best breakfast tacos in the Valley.
Yeah,
everyone sent me to the Stripes. Can you believe that?
Stripes is like a truck stop.
It's a gas station. But everyone sent me to the Stripes to get breakfast tacos in the Valley. Like, that's where breakfast tacos were born.
Yeah.
And
so you got your oil changed in the Valley and then you went and got yourself some breakfast tacos?
I think I got the oil changed in El Paso.
Oh.
No, Fort Worth. Fort Worth. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but honest to God, if you love, you know, breakfast tacos and you want a good one, Stripes has some really good. Yeah, they've got some bomb ass.
But again, that's
tacos.
Like a grab and go, right? You don't sit down.
No, it's called like Taco Sheriff or something. I have no idea what.
But
the
I mean,
it is.
Like you're filling up with gas. You go grab some breakfast tacos. Yeah. You get back on the road.
And
it's
I'm
not
okay
like
with
Denny's
that.
Where you sit down.
As you know, I mean, as a comic dude, like gas station tacos are a staple of a comedian's diet. That's I've eaten a lot of gas station tacos, breakfast tacos. It's cheap. It's convenient. It's usually right by the hotel. You can walk over there. But I was surprised at how good their breakfast tacos were.
Really?
Not gonna lie. Yeah.
I've never heard of a Stripes.
There's actually one right in front of my neighborhood.
Huh.
But I hadn't seen or heard them until then. They've got the big-ass fountain drinks, too. Their fountain drink.
That's their version of the Big Gulp?
I think so. But they've got a cup that's probably a gallon. Or maybe I don't know. It's large. It's super large.
Nothing says diabetes like a 196 ounce fountain drink to get you. Hey, as my man opens a Mountain Dew behind me,
sitting there drinking,
your
foot literally just falls off. Yeah,
yeah. I didn't need that anymore. I'll just hop around.
Somebody texted the show and said I've serviced the Ansel systems in Denny's and I've seen how filthy their kitchens are and I'll never eat at one. Now you can't judge every Denny's. Can you?
What's my man that does the review of the restaurant cleanliness now on Channel 2? Booyah! You're not getting any booyahs at Denny's.
Does he yell booyah?
Oh, yeah. He stole. I told you this the other day.
Yeah, but he's... Oh.
He looks like a bad game show host. He looks like he has roadkill for hair. And then when you get a good rating as a restaurant, he gives you the most awkwardly white booyah and a kind of the Tiger Woods fist pump.
No.
And you're just like, that's just... No. We need to turn the page and find a new routine there.
It's Laredo Taco Company at Stripes.
Oh.
Yeah, they're legit too, okay. Man. They really are. You gotta do that. In fact, maybe I'll bring you some breakfast tacos from Stripes one day.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm all about.
Will you eat them though? Because I know you're a healthy.
Oh, but growing up in the Midwest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
I'm gonna
do that one day. I'm gonna bring you and Nick some breakfast tacos from Stripes.
All right. Well, Nick is back at headquarters. We have the classroom outside today. It is fantastic. We are at the Shell Houston Open. It's Barry and Joel, the usual suspects. We are here till 4 o'clock outside the 17th green at the Craft Beer Corner. We'd love to have you stop in and say hello if you're in the area. Other than that, feel free to stay tuned as we. Barry, there's a lot of people think we're giving golf updates because they're sitting there grabbing their junk and like zoomed into the screen behind us, like they can't wait to get the next. Where's Ricky Fowler? Well, he's on the screen behind us. We're more important and we're sexier. We're here till 4 o'clock. We're the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick back at the studio. Barry and Joel live from the Houston Open right behind the 17th green. If you're heading out here, stop by the craft beer tent area. And we are soaking up some rays and dropping some knowledge on you until 4 o'clock. It is picture perfect out here. We got a good bunch of guys hanging out with us, talking and shooting it around while they're watching some rounds. The guys were telling me that your new favorite golfer, John Rahm, has a little bit of a temper.
Oh, and, did he throw his club? Oh, please say he threw something.
Threw
the
ball
drink.
In the water.
Yes!
After a hole. Yeah.
My man.
Yeah, went through a
I
little
I can do that, too. That makes me a pro golfer.
See? There you have it.
I can lose my temper and throw things, just like they do.
Interesting you say that, okay?
Yeah.
Because I kind of touched on it, but we're going to go a little further, right? Ricky Fowler had a great day today. He's -8. All right? It's one thing to say, hey, I threw my ball in the water just like John Rahm. I'm a pro golfer, right?
Yeah.
It's another thing when you come completely head-to-toe dressed like a pro golfer to just take in an event. And with a guy like Ricky Fowler, the other problem I got, I love the kids. If the kids come and they're dressed like Ricky Fowler, they're wearing their orange, their flat visors, their Puma stuff, amen to you. But unless you're a drunk group of about six guys from Oklahoma State that just want to be seen on TV wearing the Ricky Fowler stuff, don't do it.
What is the Ricky Fowler stuff? Is there like an outfit this dude wears?
Yeah.
That
so he went to Oklahoma
of?
State. So he normally he frequents a lot of bright orange.
Okay. If I'm looking around. I'm looking around to see who you're hating on.
Okay. No, they walked by already.
They left. But, okay.
Yeah. So there's all two right. different. There's two different people that fall into this category. There's the like Tiger on Sundays. He used to wear the red shirt, black pants.
Sure.
So you'd have all those. Ricky, it's normally if you want to be Ricky-esque, you're going bright orange, you're going flat brim visor, and he's a Puma guy and a Cobra guy, so okay. you'd have those logos on. But otherwise, you got Tour Pro guy.
Are you making fun of that kid right there? Because he's doing
that.
No,
I said kids are okay.
Okay,
and,
all right.
And you know what?
Sure.
And you're absolutely
like,
right.
You're such an a-hole.
That kid, which I said, kids are great because they idolize their heroes.
Okay.
That kid's got the Ricky shirt, the Ricky hat, their Puma. That's exactly what he's doing.
That's okay.
Here's the problem.
All right.
You got Tour Guy.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can't look too hard to my left because we just had Tour Guy walk by. Tour Guy is, I'm at the PGA stop. I'm a huge golf fan. But instead of worrying about how comfortable my feet are, how air-conditioned my grapes are, and how worthy I am of covering about 4 or 5 hours on the course, trudging around a couple of miles of terrain, I'm going to wear golf shoes. And I'm not wearing the comfies. I'm wearing the wing tips with spikes. I'm going to wear...
Yeah, I'm literally staring at a man right now with this wearing. So why are you being...
I'm wearing some super starched...
You're making it awkward.
...tight pants with a big buckle with a tucked-in golf shirt, and I'm wearing a brim that is nailed to my forehead. And I just...
You're so judgmental today.
No. I mean,
very judgmental.
All the guys, we were talking about it. If you really are a true golf fan, you want to cover some ground. You want to see a lot of golfers. You want comfy shoes. You want shorts. You want to be able to be cool in terms of, like, breezy cool, not, like... too cool for school. I just think you're not going to miss your tee time. You're not going to be asked to let the group behind you play through. You know, these are all rules of golf. If you're not tucked in, you're I just don't get it.
All right.
There's a lot of people.
I see this is really
up.
Bothering you.
Guys, am I right? We had this conversation.
This is bothering you a lot.
Yeah. Because we're right here by a walkway.
But I mean, look, I think guys that go to, I think grown men that go to a baseball game and take a glove with them are, that's something that the kids should be doing. I don't think,
but
I'm not going to lament over it. I mean, if you know, it's the same thing. Dudes wear jerseys. What's the difference? You wear jerseys, right?
No,
you don't.
No,
so I'll never see you in a or Aaron Rodgers jersey.
No,
okay, well that's a good thing.
Yeah, they're on my wall. In a frame.
Dudes that wear jerseys. I mean, yeah, I'm not a jersey guy, but I'm not gonna, you know.
U of H golf guys are here. Okay, U of H golf guys of all people, and they're not dressed like they're on tour. I mean, guys, come on. You have an issue when grown men are worried about being bumped off the course because they're dressed
Joel's
like
really
they're going to miss their tee time. They're in the stretch pants with the white belt, with the big buckle, with the wing tips, with the spikes. Why? See, I just don't get it. Come comfy and cover some ground. See some golf, right? See, the U of H golf team believes in that.
That's why they're
great golfers.
I think they're just saying that because you're putting them on the spot.
By the way, Kelvin Sampson can't golf as good as he thinks he can, but I know he loves you guys, so that's good. So U of H golf team is out here enjoying some eats. We are out here behind the 17th green at the craft beer tent. I'm telling you, I don't know if it gets much better in terms of being able to do something outside.
Do we get free craft beer? Do we get free beer?
Now, you know John Granato, and by the way, shout out to John Sorrentino, who stopped by to see us from the HGA. Because Granato knows people.
Yeah.
Like John Sorrentino, who I'm sure that we can arrange that for you in some way, shape, or form.
So I just can't walk over to the craft beer corner and get a beer?
Now, they were happy we were out here, and we gave them some love. So maybe, but I wouldn't attach your cart to that horse just yet.
All right. That's fine.
So is your internet speeded up yet?
Yeah, it's not bad.
You're getting tweets?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Most people are just bitching about me missing the fact that it's called the Laredo Taco Company. Yeah. It's all right.
These things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and if their bathrooms are – how are their bathrooms? Because we know Bucky's are spotless.
Not bad, actually. They're not too bad when you go to a Stripes.
Would you use one?
Like to number two?
See?
To poop?
See?
No,
see,
I'm not.
Now we've touched the hot button.
But I won't do that in public if I can avoid it. I'm not doing that.
So you'd rather crap your pants than use a less than completely spotless bathroom?
I'll wait till I get home or back to the hotel or wherever I'm at.
So what if you're in that precarious position when you got a scared turtle popping at the back door and you know that there's no way in hell you're making it back to the hotel and you got two options. One, you're loading up in the car and taking it with you, and you had an accident on your hands, or two, you got to use the bathroom at Stripes. What are you doing?
I don't have to go to Stripes. I can wait. Are you telling me that there's no way I can wait?
It's an emergency situation. You can't pad the brakes enough.
Yeah, I would use the Stripes, but I'm one of those guys that builds a bird's nest anyways when I get in there. You know what I mean? Like, first I got to clean it. I got to clean the lid off. I got to get the paper towels wet and a paper towels dry. You wipe it down, you dry it off, and then I build the bird's nest. You know, you got to go about 7 layers high with the toilet paper and the tissue, which, by the way, the little tissues they give you for the toilet seat, that's a racket. Whoever thought, like, that's protecting you and your butt, it's not. Like, that's what they wrap sweaters in when they give Christmas gifts. Like, that's not saving you from getting, like, you know, whatever you get on your butt if you, you know, crap in public. Like, that's
ingrown
not
hairs.
So it's a racket, but just in case, I'll still build a bird's nest. And there's an art to it. There's a definite art
to it. So you basically use a tree every time you go take a crap in public because you're using that much paper?
Dude, safety first.
See, that's just...
Safety first.
Here's the other thing I've never understood either.
What?
I've never understood, and I have friends that believe, one, that believe what you believe. They can never use a public restroom.
Okay.
Which means sometime they're just not telling us, but they've actually either frapped or they've actually just had an accident or two in their pants because you can't... You're gonna have a situation like that.
Yeah.
But secondly, the guy that says in order to use the toilet to go number two, I have to be completely naked.
I don't understand that. That doesn't.
But it's pretty common.
That
it's
believe
pretty common, though.
Wherever you are, that's common, Nick.
Yeah, a lot of people. I've heard a lot of people say that.
Why is that?
I don't know. I wouldn't. I'm just saying.
That's
I've
not
heard
common,
a lot.
Common, Nick. You
it's
just
very
hang out
common.
With weird people. That's not common. You just hang out with
weird
weirdos.
People. Are common. There's a lot of weird people out there.
No. No, there's not.
I'm just
like
saying.
You're in there to take care of business. And I mean by business, by a bodily function, not by, like, getting naked. That's a different business all in itself. I don't understand it. All right. Well, we're here at the Houston Open. It's a fantastic day outside. If you're coming out to the tournament, you're going to be walking around. Stop by and see us outside the 17th green at the craft beer tent area. The Houston golf team's here signing autographs for the time being before they get back out on the course to not look like Ricky Fowler. If you want to join us, Barry and I are here. Otherwise, feel free to join the show, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us and or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Nick Sciarra back at headquarters. Real quick, let's give something away, Nick and Joel. I've got this Friday is the Dr. Brian Bradley MD Memorial 50,000 USHJA International Hunter featuring the Hatter Derby.
Can you
say all that? Yeah,
I didn't get all
hell
that.
No.
Can you say that again?
You can win 4 tickets to see Olympic caliber equestrian athletes compete at the Great Southwest Equestrian Center in Katy. All proceeds in the Pin Oak Charity Horse Show benefit Texas Children's Hospital, Ronald McDonald House, and Candlelight's Childhood Cancer Family Alliance. Tickets are available for purchase. If you don't win, you can go to pinoak.org. and purchase your tickets, but we're going to give away 4 tickets to caller number 10, 713-780-3776. That's caller number 10, 713-780-3776.
You know the Stanley Roberts response to that is?
What?
How much of that in the water before they shrivel up when they do all that stuff in the equestrian?
Nice.
Oh, boy. It is beautiful out here at the Shell Houston Open.
I got a question for you.
Go right ahead.
Now, This is
713-780 ESPN, ma'am. On your cell phone right now, Nick will take your call.
There's a lady holding her hand to her head like a phone. She's caller number 4. Sorry, ma'am.
I think she was telling that guy that was getting drinks to call her.
During the Rockets game when they lost to the Warriors, Matt Barnes was in the game, Pat Bev was in the game, and I had the thought, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. I forgot to ask you yesterday.
Okay.
But I did tweet it and asked the folks, and it was split. So So I wanted to get your opinion. Who do you think wins in a fight, Matt Barnes or Pat Beverly?
I'm taking Pat Bev.
Okay.
I'm taking Pat Bev simply because he was from the south side of Chicago, from a really tough neighborhood. And when he and Westbrook got into it and he got death threats, he said, "You think I'm scared of that? I was scared to get to and from school based on the neighborhood that I grew up in and without getting shot or beat up." Matt Barnes is the most fake tough guy I've ever seen in my life. I've already been very, very vocal in the fact that he's my least favorite player in the NBA. And if you had three shots to kick Derek Fisher's ass and you didn't do it, you're not taking Pat Bev out.
Yeah, I feel like Matt Barnes is the suburban kid that hung out with all the tough kids. And so he just went out and got a bunch of tattoos.
Yes, sir.
And it's like, you know, it's like that's his toughness, like that's his layer of toughness. But I think if push came to shove, no pun intended, I think Pat Beverly whoops that ass pretty easily.
I would agree. And I don't care what the weight difference is.
Anybody from the south side of Chicago versus some light-skinned suburban dude.
Matt's from Sacramento.
Oh, there you go.
So he's tough.
Yeah, I got
you. He can really throw down. Sure you can.
Is Pat the toughest dude in the NBA?
Well,
pound for pound.
You go pound for pound, because I will say this. In the history of the NBA, pound for pound.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying now.
Calvin Murphy may be.
I've heard Calvin Murphy could whoop some ass. Yeah. Like, I mean, and it didn't matter size. It didn't matter. He would whoop some ass. Yeah. But I'm saying pound for pound right now in the NBA, is Pat Bev the toughest? Top five?
Top ten? Top five.
All right.
And I'm thinking of two guys right off the top.
Okay.
Jay Crowder, that's now with the Celtics.
Yeah.
Jay Crowder's one of those guys that will whoop your ass first and ask questions later.
All right.
PJ
Trevor Ariza. No.
Trevor is tougher than you think.
I know. That's why I threw it out.
Trevor, we talk about neighborhoods and upbringing and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Trevor's the kind of guy that it takes a lot, but once you get under his skin, or like we saw in Dallas, he's not, the court is not a boundary. We're going to the locker room. We're waiting for you to come out to go to your car, and then we're going to whoop your ass.
That's real gangster stuff.
That's correct.
Like if you got an NBA dude that goes and waits at the door for you to leave and would still fight you right there, like that's gangster.
And if he's on your team, you love it. But, I mean, that's the thing that we talked about, the goon in hockey and how the NBA used to have the enforcers, and they're not there anymore. But – you know, Oakley and Anthony Mason, those two guys in a nutshell, man, if they got your back, you're spewing venom out of your mouth and you don't care.
So you said Jay Crowder was one. Who was two on your list?
PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker. Okay. Third, maybe Bev?
No. Baby Dwight over here says David West. David West, come on, man.
That's why you're not on air, dude.
Yeah.
That's why you don't get to go on air.
Anybody that walks away from $10 million to take one and try and win a ring and then fails, so then he goes to another team that's good to try and take one again, you do the math. That's still 10 minus 2. You still threw $8 million away. You're not in the prime of your career, and you ain't making that up. That's just stupid.
Oh, well, that doesn't mean tough, but
mentally tough. You're not mentally tough. Okay.
But who's third?
I'm trying to think of
Zeebo?
Guys in the league. Oh, God, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and I'll change that because now that I really Tony Allen, same team.
Yeah.
Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, don't mess with them. Don't mess with their friends.
They're gangster. They're definitely gangster.
Without question. Like,
and DeMarcus Cousins, is he here in top five?
No, he's just nuts.
He's all talk?
Like, Tony Allen got death threats during a game while sitting on the bench back in Chicago where he's from when he was on the Celtics. And all the players on the Celtics looked at him and go, "Are you worried, man?" He's like, "Bro, we're good." Because whatever they were bringing at him, he had guys behind them that were bringing it back. So he was safe. And I've told you this before. Zach Randolph has this crew that are called the Hoop Fam. They all, in order to be in the Hoop Fam, I'm sure there's an initiation, but you have to have a diamond encrusted
blood
Mr.
In, blood
T
out.
Starter set kind of medallion that says Hoop Fam. And then you have to be certifiably just evilly and tough.
Nice.
Yeah. The guy in Portland wrote an article after he left the Blazers that said, "You never want Zach Randolph on your team because even after he gets traded, the Hoop Fam still hangs around."
Mm.
And it can be a problem.
That's not good.
The lore goes he played in the old L.A. sports arena.
Uh-huh.
And some guys were making fun of his weight and yelling at him before the game. But halfway through the second quarter, there was a commotion in the upper deck, and they looked up, and the guy that had been yelling at Zach Randolph had about 10 guys whooping his ass.
Nice.
That's when you know the Hoop Fam is live.
You don't
well.
Yeah, you don't mess with the Hoop Fam.
No.
Did you see that dad at the Cavs game with the sign? Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I saw the sign.
So this dad goes to the Cavs game, and he's got a sign that says, "Thomas, get your grades back up, and next time you'll be here. Love, Dad." And on one side, he's got the Cavs logo, and on the other side, he's got a crying face.
Yeah.
I think that was hilarious. That's like Dad of the Year material, right?
Right.
But then my wife tells me, "Did you know that there was a bunch of backlash, and people are upset with the guy for shaming his son?" What are you talking about shaming? Like, what do you – that's not shaming. One, that's hilarious. Two, the dude should get his grades up, and that wouldn't happen.
Right. It's motivation,
right?
That's
not shame. That's not shame at all. That's dad of the year. I don't care what people say. We're too soft nowadays.
No question. You get the guy that robs like six – or the kid that gets caught shoplifting or, you know, and does it multiple times. So part of the deal is the judge says you got to stand out in the Galleria area with a sign that said, "I'm out here because I was caught stealing." And
yeah.
Nothing's going to embarrass your ass more than being in the median during rush hour going, "Yeah, that's right. I was stealing and I look like an idiot."
My favorite was when some kid did something wrong and his dad gave him the George Jefferson haircut. He shaved it bald all the way around the top and left the sides as punishment. I would totally do that to my kid.
Yeah, that's rough.
I would definitely do that to my kid.
The Julius Caesar, right? The
I would do that if he didn't do the dishes. I'd be like, "You're getting the wheezy. Let's go. Come on. Like, you're going to – I'm shaving your head."
But
like,
the problem with,
for simple stuff.
But the problem with kids these days is they're like, "Go ahead, Dad, and think you got me. And then I'm going back in the bathroom grabbing the clippers, shaving the rest of it off, and in 15 minutes I'm good."
No. And then what they do is they take to the internet and start crying about how they're being abused.
Which is ridiculous in itself.
Back in my day, we shaved our heads and – okay.
Walked to school barefoot in snow uphill both ways.
Yeah.
Without any kind of help.
Did you watch the McDonald's All-American thing?
I did not.
Yeah. I was going to ask, Nick, do you care about that either?
Nah, I would never watch that.
Bro, I don't understand why people get so hyped
about
high school kids playing basketball.
Well, the only thing that I was concerned with, and I saw the write-up, but all I did was go to the site that ranks the top 50 to 100 players in the country and where they're going. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at where the kids that played in the game were going to see who's going to be good going down the street. But I didn't watch. I would watch the game, but I didn't.
I would watch it if it was actual McDonald's characters, like if Grimace was out there or Grimace's kids. Like, I would watch that McDonald's high school All-American.
Have you noticed that Ronald McDonald does not look well?
No.
Ever since back in the day, he
looked. Don't they just get a new one?
Yes, I'm saying. Back in the day, he looked joyous and happy, and he was all over the place. Now, these guys look like pedophiles in makeup that look like just like their underwear's too tight.
You got to go where the fish are, right?
Oh, boy.
All right.
That would be the playground out front. That wouldn't be the happy meal up in the...
I mean, wow. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying that's what they're doing. Don't act surprised.
Oh, it's like a bad haircut, but only the playground's in front. Nah, you don't want that. All right, so we continue to roll on. Nick's playing the music, which means we should probably take care of some people that sponsor the show. Barry and Joel from the Shell Houston Open on a glorious day in Houston, Texas. Nick back at headquarters. We'll be back with much more. This is ESPN 97.5.
This is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.